Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see? Pick up the mirror now, America. Go ahead, pick it up. What are you, afraid? It's just a mirror, America. What could it do to you except reflect your image? The Majority Report.
It is Thursday, February 3rd, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is The Majority Report, and we are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, we will be welcoming to the show Will Bunch. He is the author of at least two books, two that I know of. I think it's just two. Author of Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama, and 2009's Tear Down This Myth, How the Reagan Legacy Has Distorted Our Politics and Haunts Our Future. I'll say. You know, I listened to the show yesterday, and this is actually probably a good time to ask you for, if you have the opportunity to become a member of the Majority Report, it would be much appreciated. I just got bounced from my email service last night. It's a long story, but and I'm not quite sure. But they asked me, can you verify that 10 of these people, 10 random people, signed up from your website? And I'm like, dude, I can barely even get into the back end of my website. Are you kidding? And I have an open rate, whatever, that is like 25% above their industry standard. But I don't know. I'm not quite sure what the issue is. They think that I'm gaming the system, which I am, because I don't want to pay the full amount. So I keep reducing the amount of people who are on the list. But be that as it may, folks, my point is that I wouldn't have to game the system to save a couple of bucks if we had more members. Period. Every time someone joins the Majority Report, it makes a significant difference in our capacity to provide you a better and ever increasing in quality show. We may actually have to have an ask for a computer soon, because that thing is about to go. So if you can become a member, please do. Please, please do. And later in the post show, I will introduce a new feature that Kyle has rolled out. Remind me of that. Donate your account. And I also want to remind you, justcoffee.coop, if you drink coffee, if you drink tea, if you eat chocolate, which I would assume covers just about everybody, or if you know somebody who drinks coffee or tea or eats chocolate, justcoffee.coop, put in a majority into the coupon box, get a 10% discount. And I was listening to yesterday's program, and it is a very it's a strange dynamic, because I know many of you listen to this as a podcast, but I have been spent probably the better part of the past 20 hours glued to my television, glued to my computer, following what was happening in Cairo. Last night there were live reports for 3 hours on MSNBC, at least that I watched. With Richard Engel and Williams basically in the balcony of a hotel room with a cameraman shooting down on the violence that was going on down there. One guy lit on fire from a Molotov cocktail thrown at him. Fortunately, it looked like, you know, the anti-Mubarak protesters had stomped it out before long, but who knows. And a tank just going back and forth on this bridge, this overpass, this highway overpass, spewing smoke to keep both the anti-Mubarak protesters and the thugs is probably the best way to describe this. I mean, I mentioned, I think early in the week, that in the 5 or 6 weeks that I was in Cuba, I guess almost 8 years ago now, when my wife was shooting her documentary, we learned that Castro, to maintain control in the city, would bring in rural people who had some, inherent resent towards urbanites, and would pay them, you know, roughly equivalent to, you know, a week's worth of wages or something like that to basically maintain control. And every report that I have seen suggests that these people are a mix. The pro-Mubarak so-called protesters are a mix of actual internal police and these type of sort of rural folks who are brought in. Here's some money. You want to crack some heads. Now, essentially, like, you know, soccer hooligans for hire. You get a chance to throw some rocks at those guys who wear those, you know, those fancy glasses. You know, those westernized glasses or something. You know, that's the type of thing. So, but I want to give you some updates of where we're at this morning our time, this being Thursday morning. Last night, Prime Minister Ahmed Shafiq, who was appointed by Mubarak, I guess earlier in the week, after he sacked his original cabinet, came out, apologized for what happened in terms of the violence, and then went on to say, you know, we shouldn't humiliate ourselves, Egypt. Let's just all hang out together. Mubarak's leaving soon. Don't you worry, essentially, was the... and he is not speaking to the protesters. He is speaking to those people who are staying at home and trying to convince them that, like, look, reject the protesters. We're giving enough here in terms of changes in the government. Mubarak has already said he will step down after the election in September. So trust us, with the hopes that that Egypt as a whole will reject the anti-Mubarak protesters. Doesn't seem to be working. Curfew started this morning at 10 a.m., so about an hour and a half ago, and more people were still streaming into Tahrir Square. So the protesters seemed, and from all the reports I've seen, that they seem to be now sort of building barricades, like steel corrugated shields. They seem to be hunkering down, knowing that tonight could be a repeat of last night. And there is every indication to believe that it's going to, because of a concerted effort, which now seems to be quite apparent, to intimidate, arrest, detain, and beat foreign journalists. Anderson Cooper was basically beat up last night, sometime in the afternoon yesterday. But now it seems to have gotten even more dramatic. There was a Greek journalist who was just stabbed. The BBC reports that their equipment has just been seized at the Hilton Hotel. Sharif Kudus, who is a senior producer for Democracy Now, who is spending the night in Tahrir Square, I guess, tonight, says there appears to be a crackdown on journalists. And over the night, the pro-Mubarak fighters seem to have sort of melted away, and there were more gains by the anti-Mubarak forces. But now the military seems to, again, have sort of created a rolling barrier between these two parties. There are reports of poisoned food being distributed in Tahrir Square. There are also reports that Vice President Suleiman, our partner in torture in Egypt, is going to be addressing the country tonight. And via state media, there are reports that what he will say is that Gamal Mubarak, Mubarak's son, will not seek the presidency in the upcoming election. So what you're seeing is these attempts by the ruling, I guess, cabal at this point, to placate Egypt, and simultaneously, for some reason, a massive crackdown on journalists. I mean, violent arrests. And at the same time, we're hearing reports that senior officials, close advisors of Mubarak, are having their assets frozen, their documents seized. So who knows what's going on here? those people may be thrown under the bus by the Mubarak government. Here's more signs that we're trying to reform. And so all of this is going on as night starts to fall on Tahrir Square. And who knows really what could happen at this point. Curfew has been set. It is now about 5 or 6 in the afternoon in Egypt. Meanwhile, in Algeria, a 19-year-old state of emergency has been lifted. So there are pressures across the region on despots to I guess, show that they're reforming in some manner. Apparently, Shahir Amin also resigned from Nile TV because of their coverage of the protests. I think this is, you know, this is more of that government crackdown on the media in Cairo. Two reporters from the New York Times were arrested. Nicholas Kristof tweets that there seems to be a concerted effort to crack down on the media as well. So that's what you have going on there. The internet still seems to be up, shaky, but still seems to be up. You can go, you know, yesterday I listened back and it sounded ridiculous because I don't think I made it clear to people that I was reading real-time tweets that pop up on a map to show where they're tweeting from in Egypt. So if it sounded a little bit disjointed, my apologies for that. The AP and Huffington Post reports that Vodafone, a London cell phone carrier, which I guess gives service to Egypt, says Egyptian authorities forced it to broadcast pro-government messages during the protests. Vodafone said in a statement Thursday that Egyptian, and of course Thursday starts a little bit earlier there, so they probably released a statement about 7-8 hours ago, that Egyptian authorities have been using the country's emergency laws to script text messages to its customers. The UK-based company said it had no ability to change the content of the messages, so there must be some process. You know, remember, the US government is looking to create an internet kill switch. And I'm starting to understand what that means now. I don't think I understood fully what that meant, but it basically means that they could just, you know that lever where in the old movies where you see a guy just pulling like the metal lever on the side and just shutting down all the electricity? Well, that's what they want to do the internet. And apparently in Egypt, they have one of those kill switches. And apparently in Egypt, they also have laws that basically says to cell phone carriers, hey, when we flick this other switch, we get control of your networks. And we can just broadcast out a text message. So fascinating. And I'll tell you something. This technology that Kyle has developed, he didn't just develop it for us, but we're going to be the guinea pigs. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be the ones who introduced this technology. This could have serious implications for people's ability to communicate when their Twitter accounts are shut down, when the government is trying to block their ability to, it's going to be very, very interesting. It seems quite benign and in some ways commercial from our perspective, but the ability for this technology is going to be fascinating. And you should also know that openmeshproject.org is at openmeshproject.org is seeking the brightest engineers in the world to offer a solution to building a mesh network for Egypt. What this sounds like to me, in my limited technological understanding, is that they're trying to create a almost like a the way that WiMAX supposedly works, where you go from person to person to build a bridge and create the internet that way, as opposed to having a central carrier that provides a bridge. So almost using like Bluetooth or some personal broadcasting mechanism, which would allow, which would keep the government from being able to shut it down, essentially. And Tor, I mentioned this the other day, Tor was developed by that guy, Jacob Applebaum, and who, you know, has been sort of stopped by U.S. officials because of his work for WikiLeaks. Tor essentially allows you to be anonymous in terms of your IP address on the internet. And so it would not allow a government to shut you down because they wouldn't know where you're coming from. And Tor actually crashed because it was getting such a spike in usage. So Avaaz, AVAAZ.org, has begun to try and raise money to providing satellite internet devices, other related equipment, to help with network access costs and general support for Egyptians and people working with Egypt during the crisis and beyond. This fundraising drive is being organized by the Tor Project. Money raised will be used by the Tor Project for work in areas where the internet has been jacked. So you can go to avaaz.org to contribute to this project. And any technology developed by Tor in this instance is going to be employed in any other circumstance like this. Meanwhile, CNN's Eric Erickson, writing on his blog Red State, says, "We cannot blame Barack Obama for Egypt collapsing on itself. However, we can blame Barack Obama for failing to mitigate and control the impact of the collapse."
What are you talking about?
We now know Obama collaborated to help bring down Egypt.
What are you talking about?
You know, folks, they're very, very concerned at CNN not to seem too partisan and to provide you only with the highest level of analysis. So this is what CNN's Eric Erickson is out spouting. He says Barack Obama is liable, given this. A report that said the Obama administration said for the first time that it supports a role for groups such as the Muslim Brotherhood, a banned Islamist organization, in a reformed Egyptian government. The organization must reject violence and recognize democratic goals if the U.S. is to be comfortable with it taking part in the government, the White House said. Well, first of all, the Muslim Brotherhood has, in fact, rejected violence. And it seems to be far more democratic in terms of recognizing democratic goals than Mubarak is. But just because the Obama administration says there's a role for opposition groups, CNN's Eric Erickson is now saying that he is responsible, he is a collaborator in bringing down the government of Egypt?
I don't think so.
All right, we got to take a break now and change to more domestic policies. We're going to speak to Will Bunch about those very questions. He is a author of two books. Has the blog Addywood at the Philadelphia Daily News, and a fellow for Media Matters for America. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone. Will Bunch, author of Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama, is also author of 2009's Tear Down This Myth, How the Reagan Legacy Has Distorted Our Politics and Haunts Our Future. And he is, like I mentioned, a fellow for Media Matters, and his blog, Addywood, is at philly.com, the Philadelphia Daily News. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. I got to say one thing, and it just cracks me up because I just can't believe how common this is. But we have a way of Philadelphia of saying the word attitude because we all have an attitude here, but we pronounce it attitude.
Oh, gosh.
And that's the name of my blog. But I learned that the human eye, when it sees OOD, 90% of people see the word wood. So
that is
just wanted to
fascinating.
Correct you.
Now that you call my attention to it, I'm looking at it on the paper, and I have called it Addywood for 6 years. 5 years? How long have you been doing that blog?
Well, one of these days I'm going to have to do a post where I'm going to have to invent something called an Addywood, just so there'll be something to actually match the word because it gets used so often. It's hilarious.
You know, I literally got to the point where I was like, what does that mean, Addywood? But, you know.
Well,
you asked that about.
I don't know. Do you get the attitude thing or?
No, I get the attitude. Yeah, and now that I actually. And I'm like slightly dyslexic too. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I will write down people's phone numbers absolutely wrong too. But that's fascinating.
Well, all right. Well, there you go.
So let's work chronologically with your books here for a moment,
sure.
If we could.
Yeah.
Because the Reagan legacy. I mean, the right wing in this country has created a deity out of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
Limbaugh refers to him as Ronaldus Maximus. If you listen to Hannity's show, they play this, the Heritage Foundation, you know, on the...
What would Reagan do?
Heritage Foundation has these moments where you hear this sort of like patriotic music as if he was marching with those guys with the flute and the snare drum. Carrying the flag and Reagan, you know, some clip of Reagan's speech. How has the Reagan legacy distorted our politics? And I guess our future is now our present, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, one thing, Reagan is more timely this week than ever because in case your viewers don't listeners don't know, it's been probably deferred a little bit because of all the events in Egypt, but Sunday is going to be, I don't know what you call it exactly, but Reagan's 100th birthday or the centennial of his birth. Obviously, he died in 2004, but it's the, he was born.
It's the birthday of his corpse.
Right. Well, I think his corpse is 7 years old. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But anyway, the bottom line is this, is it's going to be a huge excuse for, certainly Fox, but I think also CNN and maybe even MSNBC a little bit are going to, you know, and some of the other networks are going to trot out, anybody who ever, worked for a couple of weeks in the Reagan administration or whatever, and they're going to talk about, they're going to further perpetrate these myths about Ronald Reagan.
I hope Peggy Noonan is loading up on carbs right now because I think she's going to be on TV for 48 hours straight.
Yeah, well, I think Pat Buchanan's is letting her borrow his cot at MSNBC or something like that. I don't know, but yeah, you're going to see a lot of Peggy Noonan on TV. You're going to see a lot of Pat Buchanan because he worked in the Reagan White House. All these people, Ed Rollins, these people are going to be all over the place. I'm trying to get out there, and maybe one or two people who actually have something more critical to say about Reagan will hopefully get on some outlets like yours. But
tell me some of the biggest myths that we're going to hear. I mean, aside from Grover Norquist coming out and saying that he should be, we should put him on the dime or whatever it is.
Right.
What are the biggest myths we're going to hear?
Yeah, some of the Reagan myths are just out and out falsehoods. I hear so many Republican candidates say that Reagan shrunk the size of government. I mean, he talked about it a lot, but in fact, he added more employees. He added a cabinet level department, Department of Veterans Affairs, and of course, the biggest concern about the size of government is the size of government spending, which increased every year of his presidency, even when adjusted for inflation, and created enormous debt. I mean, the federal debt was, believe it or not, was only a quaint $700 billion when Reagan took office. It was $3 trillion by the time he left, so he basically had accumulated twice as much debt as all the presidents who came before him.
Dick Cheney is famously quoted as saying Reagan proved deficits don't matter.
Right, which is again a lie, which, I don't know where that ranks on the huge list of Cheney lies, but they did matter. I mean, they mattered at the time. I mean, we had a recession and high unemployment in the early 90s, and the economic policymakers didn't have a lot of room to maneuver because the U.S. debt and deficit was so high because of Reagan's effect. For better or worse, it actually kind of destroyed George H.W. Bush's presidency because he thought he could do this Reagan-esque thing where he would promise, "Read my lips, no new taxes," and because of the Reagan debts, of course, he had to increase taxes, and that destroyed him.
Didn't Reagan raise taxes as well?
Oh yeah, well that's the other thing, and that may even be a larger myth actually, is that and it's so important because you have Grover Norquist who by the way heads the Ronald Reagan Legacy Project, whose other claim to fame is going around getting these candidates for office to sign these pledges that I will never increase taxes. And it's supposed to be in the spirit of Reagan. But the reality is that Reagan, after a big tax cut in the first year of his presidency, basically had some kind of tax increase and mostly fairly major ones for each of the next 6 years he was president. His 1982 tax increase, which partially was just to correct the overreach of his tax cut in 81, was the largest peacetime tax increase in U.S. history. So he increased gasoline taxes. I'm sure that would go over really well nowadays. The thing to me that actually is most important about Reagan and taxes is, came up with this plan, this bipartisan plan on Social Security, and a big part of that was a major increase in payroll taxes. And as probably some of your listeners probably know, I mean,
this is the Greenspan Commission,
right? But the payroll tax is the tax that falls heavily on the middle class and the working class. If you were a millionaire or a billionaire, you know, Reagan tax policy was great for you. But if you were just an average guy who worked in a steel mill or an auto plant or something like that, you most certainly ended up paying more taxes when Reagan left office than you paid when he started. You know, that was true for a majority of Americans. So to hold him out there as his great tax cutter when, you know, I mean, the payroll tax is a tax. It's just like the income tax, you know, and the payroll taxes increased sharply under Reagan, and so people were paying more of their weekly paycheck to the federal government in 1989 than they were in 1981. And this is a myth. And if you have any listeners in Nassau County, New York, which just went broke last week, it's because of a Tea Party candidate who got elected there, who had this Reagan-esque position that he just couldn't raise taxes. And he didn't do anything. He was very Reagan-esque in a way. I mean, he wouldn't do anything to actually cut spending, though. And now, a year after this guy took office, the county's broke.
Well, that was also George W. Bush's formula, wasn't it? It was also let's cut taxes and we'll spend more money. And this is that. You know, I think even the former head of the Cato Institute had a study that showed that actually when you cut taxes below a certain percentage of GDP, government grows exponentially and spends more because people think they're getting it on a discount.
I had not seen that study, and that's interesting. In a weird way, that kind of makes sense to me, because I mean, that's certainly what happened. And yeah, I mean it's interesting. Bush 43 consciously tried to emulate Reagan, and one of the ways he did that was by I'm gonna have a big tax cut my first year in office, just like Reagan had a big tax cut his first year in office. But Reagan, after that, I mean, to his somewhat credit, was willing to reconsider and compromise and work with Democrats and whatever. And Bush never did that. He just cut taxes. Then, you know, these two wars get launched, which are incredibly expensive. And like you said, I mean, increased spending in other areas like his prescription drug plan and some of the other things. And never adjusted. In fact, he pushed through a second tax cut in the middle of the war. I think it was the first time a major tax cut had been enacted while America was at war ever.
Now, well, isn't ultimately the haunting part of his legacy is that there are all these myths that we can do all these things and cut taxes, and that government is an obstacle to freedom and an obstacle to economic health and an obstacle to our American sense of being able. I mean, it's a fascinating narrative, the idea that the American government is somehow an impediment to America, but of course it becomes extremely dangerous, particularly in a time like now, where we need the government to stimulate the economy, and we can't get it because these memes now dominate our political narrative.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you there, Sam?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you.
My point being that these narratives of Reagan dominate the political narrative now, which actually inhibits our government's ability to stimulate the economy and get us out of this recession.
Sam, that is so true. And, you know, I mean, one thing, I mean, this is kind of an overarching point, but it kind of baffles me is, you know, I mean, I grew up and the whole idea was America was government of the people, you know, by the people and for the people, meaning that we weren't afraid of government because, you know, because we have a democratic system, government was us. You know, we were electing people to do our bidding as our representatives, right? And then this change in philosophy that really was spearheaded by Reagan, that government is the, you know, that government is the problem, i.e., which has morphed, thanks to the Tea Party, which I know we're going to talk about in a minute, but I mean, has morphed into government being the enemy, basically. Once that becomes your overarching point of view and your philosophy, you know, of course you're not able to do anything. And it's just, you know, it's just so frustrating to see America fall behind other countries, whether it's high-speed rail or education or alternative energy or, you know, so many areas that maybe government doesn't always have to take the lead, but there's a role for government to make things happen. And if you you know, say the government should be out of everything, then these things don't get done. And,
yeah, particularly at a time where you have just incredibly low demand. I mean, that's the bottom line. No matter how much we cut taxes right now, people aren't going to spend. I mean, companies and corporations and businesses are not going to spend and hire people because there's nobody buying their products. But let's take this time to – we only got 3 minutes left here. Let's take this time to talk about the Tea Party. How much is the Tea Party and a descendant of how much of what we're seeing of the right wing now is a descendant of this Reaganism?
Right. Well, you know, I spent the better part of a year kind of among the Tea Party in writing this book, The Backlash, which
you have my sympathies.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it needed to be done. I think there needed to be some reporting on the Tea Party movement. Where somebody from a liberal perspective would go out in the field and talk to these people and try and understand where they're coming from, but also point out, you know, just the fallacies and the lack of logic that really drives this whole movement. But,
let's talk about,
I mean,
where they are coming from, because I mean the fallacies, I mean, I think in some ways are self-evident. I'm very curious as to who you perceive them to be. I mean, are these new people who have entered into the political process, or are they retreads?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think at the core you have, you know, retreads of kind of the heart and soul of what was the whole John Birch Society movement in the early 60s and kind of the backlash against liberalism that led to Richard Nixon in addition to my books, your listeners should definitely read Rick Perlstein's Nixon Land, which is a great book that explains kind of the growth of kind of the modern conservative mentality and how that manifested itself during the 60s and 70s. So I think that's the core. I mean, when I did my reporting, you have to remember a lot of people in the movement, the Tea Party movement is primarily over the age of 50. And so you have a lot of people who came of age in the 60s and 70s from a conservative point of view. I mean, you have I met probably a disproportionate number of Vietnam veterans, for example, people of that era, and they harbor a lot of the resentments of that era, you know, against elites, you know, against the welfare system that people are taking, you know, taking what's theirs, et cetera. So at the core, it's the conservative movement that's existed in this country for 50 years at the core. I think it's been expanded to a larger audience because of things like Fox News and because of talk radio, and you have this much more elaborate conservative media infrastructure, you know, that's able to reach this generation. A lot of people in the Tea Party movement are retired, or they're senior citizens, or they're underemployed because of the economy. Either they're jobless, or they're only working part time now because the factory where they worked when they were younger is closed down now, or whatever. And with that extra time, they watch way too much Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, and they live in this bubble. And they hook up with their, through the Tea Party, really, they hook up with their fellow ditto heads who hear the same messages and agree with them, and they reinforce each other. And, you know, I that's what I think has made this movement a little bit larger and a little bit more potent than it would have been perhaps in the past. You know, they obviously have the internet and other ways and social media and ways to connect with each other that they wouldn't have had 10 or 15 years ago.
All right. Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. We got to have you back to talk more about the Tea Party. But
oh my gosh,
thank you for this primer
much.
On the eve, I guess, of Ronald Reagan's the anniversary of his corpse's anniversary of his birth.
Just remember that we can all tear down this myth, you know, and fight back against the Reagan mythology. So.
Thank you for helping us with that. I can't wait to watch hours and hours of Peggy Noonan.
Weep over
the wonderful time she had.
Well, thank God for football. That's all I can say. So.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Will Bunch.
Thanks, man.
Check it out. It's Attitude, ladies and gentlemen. Attitude. All right. We got to take a break. I will take your IMs on the other side of this break. Remember, please become a Majority Report member if you can. On the other side, I've got a bunch of news briefs and an interesting story on, we mentioned it yesterday, but I get more details on the Immigrations and Customs Bureau shutting down or seizing website domains. Very interesting, and I think, frankly, very troubling. We'll be right back after this. We are back. I will take your IMs at Majority FM, but first, some quick news briefs. The forcible rape language that the Republicans wanted to insert into their sort of ongoing permanent Hyde Amendment, which keeps the federal government from funding abortions except for in cases of rape or in cases of a danger to the mother, or I guess a serious health risk to the mother. House Republicans plan to sidestep this potentially contentious fight by dropping the provision that that calls for that rape must be forcible. Now, it's just shocking to me how misogynist these people are, and it probably also was in some ways maybe just a legislative trick. Let's take it a step too far. And so that it will actually seem somewhat legitimate to prevent women from receiving a perfectly legal medical treatment so that they can have control of their own bodies. We should change it to, Medicare will not pay for forcible penile, what is it called? You can't. What is it? Erectile dysfunction. Moving on. The Senate yesterday rejected the attempts by Republicans to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the health care reform. In the end, it was 51-47. Expect a series of now smaller battles. One of the repeals that has taken place, in fact, may very well be the first section of the health care bill to be repealed, was planned to be repealed by just about everybody after the bill passed. It is a new tax reporting requirement that has been universally panned, I guess. The amendment to repeal the 1099 reporting requirement passed 81-17 with broad bipartisan support. I guess some Republicans wanted this to be made up in other areas in terms of tax revenues. I don't think a substantial amount of money. And interestingly, the lobbying industry, last year was the first time in more than a decade that the lobbying industry in Washington did not grow significantly in size. So sorry for lobbyists. Very, very tough time for lobbyists today. It's just It's tough for a player out there, isn't it? And the debt fight will come a little later than had been anticipated. There were better than expected tax receipts. So the U.S. Treasury Department on Wednesday extended its estimate of when the country will hit the debt ceiling to somewhere between April 5th and May 31st. That may be even May 31st. That may be extended even more. Back just a month ago or less, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner predicted that this debt ceiling could be hit as early as March 31st and probably no later than May 16th. So it's, you know, a couple of weeks it's been pushed. Tax revenues higher than anticipated. The Republicans, and particularly Representative Fred Upton, chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, unveiled draft legislation Wednesday to try and strip the Environmental Protection Agency of its power to regulate greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. Congressman said the legislation's intent is to show that the Clean Air Act was not meant to address climate change and to stop the EPA from, quote, imposing a backdoor cap and trade tax on industries identified as polluters. You got to protect those polluters, man. I mean, what would happen if all of a sudden someone took a deep breath and it wasn't full of toxins? People freak out. Where am I? Could have just thousands of people running around the streets. I don't know where I am. And EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson says that the Obama administration has stated, well, this is, I don't know, it's a little more qualified than that. She said, quote, what has been stated from the White House is that the president's advisors would advise him to veto any legislation that passed that would take away EPA's greenhouse gas authority. A couple of qualifications in there, right? It's not the Obama administration has vowed. It's the White House has signaled that the advisors would advise him to veto any legislation. Wiggle room. And finally, closing out the news briefs, Representative Paul Ryan, who gave the one of, what was it, 14 different rebuttals the Republicans gave to the Obama's State of the Union address, was also in attendance at the Coctopolis conference out in Palm Springs or whatever it is.
I like Coctopolis.
Yeah, whatever that is. The douchebag Ateria out in Palm Springs where the Koch brothers get together all of their cronies that they pay either directly or indirectly to destroy the country for Americans. And this story is creeping me out a little bit. And I touched on it yesterday. And I don't know why the left doesn't make a bigger stink out of this. Maybe because there is no left in this. We got to get that dude, Freddie DeBoer, on. We got to get that dude on who wrote that thing. And I also told a Bronx blogger, I think is his name, at least on Twitter. We're going to have him on soon, too, talking about anarchy. So soon. But this is not really about anarchy. This is more sort of straight line leftist politics. Anarchy is genuinely radical. You know, we never approach anything even remotely radical in this country, by definition. Although you could argue that to the extent that there are radicals, they're on the right, far more so than on the left these days. Be that as it may. According to paidcontent.org, federal officials gave a full list of the sports streaming websites that they have seized in advance of the Super Bowl Sunday. Now, this is a twofer, folks, this piece. Because one, you get to hear how nefarious our government is becoming in some areas. Two, you get to hear about the hypocrisy of protecting this type of content, having the government protect this type of content, as opposed to, let's say, the commons right? I mean, right-wingers are going to scream about how the EPA is somehow protecting our air, but they're not screaming about how we're protecting the stream of the Super Bowl. And then, did I say twofer or threefer? Because it's a threefer. And then you're also going to hear about websites you can go to and illicitly, or, you know, I don't think it's illicit. You're watching a website. And that's the best thing about this article. I just ripped it out. You know what I would like? The feed just died again? Why is our feed dying?
No idea. Everything over here checks out.
We had problems with this yesterday, too.
Yeah, I saw. I'll talk to Kyle. I've been watching it over here.
Strange. Well, hopefully people can hear us. Otherwise, you'll have to listen to the podcast. And what I'm really curious about, is there web TV? Is that web TV thing still exist? If anybody knows it, like some type of web TV, like, you know, because you can get Roku, you can get Apple TV. But now it's getting to the point where, you know, on my Roku, the best thing about the Roku is, like, I have all these apps where I can stream all this stuff, but it's all basically stuff that just allows Roku to stream certain websites. You know, stuff that I can access online and organize it well. But I would love a web TV. If I get a web TV, forget about it.
Yeah, it looks like a web TV, MSN TV. Is that what you're talking about?
No. No, I'm talking about a device that Microsoft used to sell. Is that what it is? Is it a box?
Microsoft. Huh. TV. Yeah, it's still available.
All right, send me a link.
Sure.
How much does it cost?
I'll have to get into it for that one. They just have the fancy-looking device and a really nice stock photo picture.
Okay. If it's more than $10, I got to wait until more people become members. I'm not allowed to spend any. I'm not allowed to make any purchase over $10 that is not somehow business related.
You could probably find some wiggle room there.
Okay, so federal officials gave a list of full list of the sports streaming websites they have seized in advance of Super Bowl Sunday. They also defended their actions, saying that each year, sports leagues and broadcasters lose millions of dollars from illegal streaming. Really? Really? Do they really? Do they? How do they measure that? For instance, I, on occasion, have been known to watch the Patriots on my computer because I cannot watch them in New York City. I cannot watch them in New York State. It's a blackout. It's to keep me away from the Patriots. Would I buy Dish Network? No. But that's not even the point. Why is... This is my favorite. Are you ready for this? I wish we had some... I don't know what music to play for this. You know what the name of this operation to seize these sites is? Operation In Our Sights. SITES.
Oh, tone down that red right there.
Yeah, whoa. Operation In Our Sights.
The surveyor site.
Are you working on OIOS? I mean, do you think the guys at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement that are taking over web domains that are alleged, do you understand? There's no conviction here. This is not like, you know, the draconian, you've been convicted of drug dealing. We're going to take all your stuff. This is just alleged. So these guys are, you know, judge and jury in seizing this property. Do you think these U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement guys go like, what are you working on? Operation In Our Sights? Oh, yeah. Pretty good. What are you working on? Operation I'm not allowed to tell you. It's secret. I wish I could say I was working an operation in our sights. I was working on operation. I should have come up with like another pun. So what they do is the operation started out with seizures of websites hawking counterfeit goods. Okay, selling knockoff, watches or DVDs. But now they've moved into a territory that's included a BitTorrent search engine, music blogs, and now sports streaming sites. But these sites do not actually stream content. These sites simply aggregate links to where you can find this content, which is just stunning now. This is just pure information this site is disseminating. It is not in any way disseminating anyone else's copyrighted material. Do you understand now how removed this is? Now, theoretically, if I tell you the name of these sites, these aggregating sites, why couldn't they take my domain away? Why couldn't they take majority.fm? If I say to you, and frankly, why are they not shutting down paidcontent.org? Because paidcontent.org goes on to list the names of the sites and then talks about how one of them, Roja Directa, .org and .com, has moved to a different, dot something else.
Sure. Coincidentally enough, our website is temporarily half down because Kyle's fixing the dropped stream problem.
Oh, well, that's a coincidence, but that would have been a little bit more disturbing if the... it seized all the websites these provide a variety of links to streaming sports content, but voided actually hosting any video themselves. Instead, the video was hosted by so-called CyberLocker services. I don't know what that means, CyberLocker, but I know I'm going to check it out now. Now, this is the interesting thing. Roja Directa is out of Spain. In Spain, Roja Directa supposedly won a copyright case brought against it in Spanish courts. And in 2009, a court in Israel deemed the broadcast of streaming sports to be fair use under that country's copyright law, as long as the streaming was for non-commercial purposes. So in Israel, you can actually stream this stuff on a site. Never mind have a site that is an aggregator of links to a place in like Israel. Justin TV was a subject of a legal battle. They were sued for unauthorized streaming of the Ultimate Fighting Championship fights. But if federal agents continue to shut down sites on behalf of the copyright owners, content companies might be able to bypass lengthy court fights required to prove their case. So what we have here is the government not enforcing. This is not, understand, this is not enforcement of patents or of inventions. Let me just read this from the Constitution. Section 8 of the Constitution, Section 8 of Article 1. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing, this is what the Congress should have the power to do. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. Well, now, first of all, if you are a strict constructionalist, there's no way you can argue that in any way the government has the constitutional authority to protect stuff like TV. Nobody's or TV sports. Nobody's writing. Nobody's written a football game. Does it say anything in the Constitution about TV? And it also says only to promote the progress of science and useful arts. Well, is sports a science? Is sports a useful art? And even if it is, does it need any more progress? They can only promote the progress. What more progress could we have from football?
Depends on which team you're voting.
People are going to have jetpacks and fly around and float.
Was it the XFL?
But aside from that, understand that this agency is not enforcing any laws here, because No law has been proven to be broken. And so what they are doing, and the only thing they have the ability to do, is to shut down and seize these domains because these domains have been sold by an American company. They're only a specific web addresses, none of which appear to be run of outside of the U.S. Because federal agencies are only able to execute these kinds of seizures because certain web addresses are under the control of U.S. companies like VeriSign, which controls internet addresses that end in .com. So what these sites are doing is, U.S. agencies, RojaDirecta.com and RojaDirecta.org. And the company has already begun operating its services at RojaDirecta.me and RojaDirecta.es. So we have government agencies essentially unilaterally seizing these sites when it's not clear what they're doing is in violation of any American law. All they're doing is aggregating to sites, to other sites, period. And the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is making determination, we don't like what you are linking to. That's problematic. That's fucked up. I'm going to go to the IMs. I don't even know if we're people can hear us now.
Yeah, it's been fixed.
Superfunk 72, Addywood. Come on, Sammy. When you think Philly, think Addywood. It's true. Superfunk 72, you should get Ron Reagan on as a guest. He's doing a book tour right now, I believe. Love that guy. You guys, oh, yeah. We should. Do you still have contacts to his contact people? I'm sure I can get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she's still producing him, but I could find out.
He's not doing a show anymore.
That was my only contact, was his producer, but I'm sure she has contact with him.
All right.
They were very good friends.
Dramthes, your website won't open. Are you getting a bigger amount of traffic? My stream just started working when you were talking about someone taking a website down. You had me scared for a second. Hopefully you can send us a quick email if the man ever takes down your website. Yeah, I got to get a new email service. That is, of course, assuming Joe Lieberman has not switched off the internet at this point. Morella 62, Sam, this is a good site for web TV streaming. WWITV.com portal. I have a cable that connects my laptop to the TV, basically using the TV as a large computer monitor. So I have access to a lot of cool international programs. You know, I got to get one of them cables.
There's a site called Live Station also that's mostly foreign stations. It used to be free. It might be you might have to pay for it now. But
I don't pay for it.
I mean, it might be free. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But it was great. It was Al Jazeera, France 24.
Yeah, this one has. Oh wow, look at that! Gives you all sorts of news programs. Fantastic, Harold. It's good. My favorite torrent site is based out of Italy. Then .it. Yes, it is. Travoli 76. EZTV.it. There you go. Holy cow.
Silvio. Pretty loose on the rules over there.
Yeah, I guess so. Filmfest guy. I can hear you now. That's it. Yeah, we're back on. So sorry about that. Yep, and then he disconnected. So if you want to send me an IM, please do so at Majority FM Cool 146, Cool J 146. Did we figure out what the problem was with that?
We're looking through it now, but it's fixed.
Don't be a putz. After your Twitter beatdown of Andy Breitbart yesterday, I started following him. What a strange character that dude is. Oh, yeah, I went after him again. He's so dumb. He's not bright. I mean, maybe he is smart. I don't know. It's just that he's so clear. So clear, this guy is such a sort of Hollywood wannabe, you know, rejected. What a strange character that dude is. Have you noticed how much joy he seems to get when people flame him? He constantly retweets them, yes. Well, you know, that's the same psychological dynamic. you know, as sort of like attacking those that he feels rejected by. He needs to show that he's impervious to attack by the false confidence that he projects by retweeting it. And that's all it is. It's simply false confidence. He's trying to project a false confidence in retweeting these attacks instead of actually addressing them. So he never really has to address those who are attacking him. Now, the thing is, you'll notice is that I don't think he's ever really been able to retweet, maybe once, when I go after him, because mine hurt him. And he actually has to address them. The other ones are just his way of showing a false confidence because he feels that he has attained. Because, you know, when you feel rejected, I mean, remember back to high school. You had this notion of who the cool kids were. And some of them probably thought they were the cool kids because they were, because it was high school. And everybody has different social cliques, but well-adjusted people are simply well-adjusted. They don't necessarily perceive themselves that way, but Andy Breitbart obviously does perceive others in that way. And so he then, in turn, perceives that there are others outside of his clique. So when he gets these tweets from people who he thinks are, you know, somehow beneath him because maybe they don't have many followers, or maybe they're not in any way famous, or maybe they have no platform, he has an immediate rush of confidence because he thinks that somehow he can prove that he's better than them by retweeting these attacks. It's not a terribly sophisticated psychological model. You know, there's some type of like weird narcissism from him perceiving himself to have been left out of something. And I would imagine there are a lot of people who grow up, you know, because I do really think that if you live on the periphery, as someone in Brentwood would growing up, of show business, it doesn't take a lot for it to psychologically damage you. And particularly if you're not talented. And so Breitbart is responding to that. Breitbart is essentially just a troll birthed from the Drudge era of the internet. He actually worked for Drudge. You know, Marin had Bill Maher's producer on a few weeks back. Oh, he did? Bill Carter? He said they're shooting more episodes this year than ever before. Maher already has Breitbart on. How can we get him to add you to the mix? You just identified the similarity between Breitbart and Marin. I don't know. I know Bill Carter, and he's been very friendly to me. Is it Bill Carter? Is it the name of his producer? No, Bill Carter is the writer from the I can't remember. Scott Carter, right. And I'm not sure what the blockage is there, frankly. But maybe I just don't have enough of a constituency, or maybe I'm too similar in profile in some respects. I do what Bill Maher does. So why does he want someone like me there? He's doing it. That's what I imagine. If you can get anybody, get Noam Chomsky. You mentioned yesterday a nuance in something that he said that you weren't sure about. Right, about the U.S. government wanting Islamicist things. I think you give Tea Partiers too much credit. They're not politically engaged. They're blue-collar conservatives expressing themselves, but they don't begin to understand what's going on. Oh, no, I agree with that. Believe me. Go check out my 828 video of Glenn Beck and that woman who said, like, we're not following the Constitution enough. And I don't like this whole thing with you have to separate government from God. Well, I haven't actually read the Constitution, but I'm going to take a course on it in October. By now, she's probably a genius when it comes to that. Jimmy Reefer Cake. Sports content is what the cable companies use to get the average people and squeeze them by the balls. It's their ultimate weapon. I am not surprised that they seek to shut it down. I had an idea for a campaign once that where you would say to them, I only want sports channels, turn off the rest. I'll pay the same fucking price, turn off the rest. All I want is sports. They wouldn't do it because they require shoving shit down our throats. They would just say, well, they also get carriage fees. Cable companies get carriage fees from a lot of stations that are on their networks. It cuts both ways. Sometimes they pay, sometimes they get. My tip is to tune in to live sports on the radio and internet. It's fun. If I was going to caption your Ring of Fire pick, it would read, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have cancer. Is it too somber, my pick?
I don't know. It looks a little intense, I guess, but I mean, it's Ring of Fire.
That's what I wanted. Sam, well, I'd like to watch you abusing Breitbart. I'm reluctant to give him the satisfaction of knowing one more person is following him. I wish there was some way to let him know I'm following him only so I can laugh at him. I guess I could tweet it. You know what you could do is you can put him on a list. You know, make a list, a private list on your Twitter account. Jokers. And you don't have to follow him. You can just put him in that list.
And it'll show up. He'll know that he's listed under jokers.
Right.
That's how you let him know.
Right. Morons. Something like that. Crystal Count. Young Turks get distribution on Live Station, which also has major international feeds, including Al Jazeera. I get the latter on my iPhone through them. It might be worth seeing what it takes to get the MR feed on there, possibly another motive to make the feed 24-hour loop, perhaps including the video.
Yeah, because they do the Live Station, that's what I was talking about earlier. They also do like BBC radio. They do audio streams as well as television.
Have we looked into what it would take to do a live, to loop it?
I haven't looked into it. We're right now dealing with how to not fall apart. But yeah, I'll look into
that. Why are we having problems right now?
Just running too many things in too small of a server. We're fixing it right now.
What are you looping, the audio?
Yeah, the show. Upbeat Nihilist, interested in doubling down on my membership. Currently doing $10 a month and figuring at a roughly dollar a day becoming a Cedarista is a bargain. Encourages to... Come on, Sam. Has it been that long since you... It's actually less than a dollar a day. It probably turns out to be closer to like 85 cents a day. 90 cents a day is a Cedarista. David, do you want me to make more T-shirt designs? Yes. Did you see the other one? Did I show you guys? We're having trouble catching up. But, one of the other logos you made was actually, I think, really good for the T-shirt. The one with the MR and me looking at, but I got to tell you which one. Avant is boot. What? Oh, dude. Dude. I don't even know if I would allow Avant to boot. Avant is doing yeoman's work. Folks, if you have not been to the majority.fm to see, breakdowns, the daily breakdowns of Avant, it's almost better. You almost don't even need to listen to the show anymore. You just go and read. It's almost more entertaining. I'm afraid Avant is going to start his own show and just do the breakdowns.
He's definitely, when you think that the website is dormant on the weekend, you're wrong, because he's doing a weekend recap. He's, using the site to keep traffic up there.
Keep
some good content up there for you to be entertained.
And now we have that new Wibia toolbar down at the bottom. You can automatically Facebook like it, and you can do all this. Oh, and folks, here's the announcement. If you go to majority.fm right now, have you guys seen this?
You showed it to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Have you seen this, Evan?
No, not
yet. If you go to majority.fm, you scroll down. Right below it says, I want you to subscribe today. And you'll notice you can also just share that with somebody by clicking. You can share it through because of the Wibia toolbar, you can share it through Facebook or Google or anything that you belong to. But you can donate your Twitter account, it says. Right underneath, help spread the word. Donate a tweet a month, a week, or a day to the Majority Report. In other words, what you're doing is you can give us the permission to automatically, so that you automatically retweet a tweet of our choice once a month, once a week, or once a day. So in other words, okay, Dorsey tweets out on majority.fm, we've got Chris Hayes on today, or we've got Noam Chomsky on today, or Andrew Breitbart tried to break into our office, whatever it is. These are all hypotheticals. If you give us permission to tweet once a month, we will judiciously, well, we'll decide which tweet we want to be that month. It'll just be a month. It'll be over 30 days. You just allow us a retweet. If it's once a day, it'll probably be end up being like the announcement that the show is going live. Now, think of the power of this, folks. There'll be 500 retweets, 1,000 retweets, 200 retweets, 100 retweets. I mean, however many people sign up. Right now, there's just two people, me and Kyle. But you'll see all those pictures starting to file up there. And it will just simultaneously go out. Now, this is the other thing. You will also be exposing this technology to the world. You will be the first people. No one else knows about this except for Majority Report listeners. And I am telling you, within a month, maybe less, people in Egypt who want to broadcast, who want to get this out, will be using this. If Anonymous or WikiLeaks get shut down and you allow them to donate the account, they still can get their message out. And the way you will introduce this technology, campaigns will be using this. And the thing is, it's not, you know, if you already are inclined to retweet the Majority Report on a daily basis, no change. You just, it'll do it automatically once a day, only once a day. If you are inclined to retweet the Majority Report once a week, it'll do it automatically for you. If you're inclined to retweet the Majority Report at Majority FM once a week, once a month, it will do it automatically for you. This is so cool. Joe Belisk just donated a, people are doing it right now. If you have Twitter. Wow, Todd Slater just did it on the gold level. Thank you, folks. I would not say you're like Bill Maher, says Spayef, except for making politics fun. I am frustrated with Maher much of the time because he does not seem to fully understand the topic he's talking about, where I actually get more info and better analysis from you. Well, look, the first thing he's selling is the comedy. The next thing he's selling is the politics. For me, the first thing I'm selling is the politics, and the next thing I'm selling is the comedy. I do my comedy in service of my politics. Bill Maher is somewhere between, I think, he's gotten more political. He's definitely more political than Jon Stewart. Can I send you a check for $120 for membership rather than $10 a month? I do not care for automatic deductions. We will work out a system for that. I haven't gotten there. And, you know, I've told people we're still not at the point where I feel comfortable taking a year-long membership. We're still not comfortable there. Maybe we can do, you know, when we sequester, we'll work out a system maybe, you know, which sequestering is coming soon. Right, Kyle?
I don't think so.
No, come on, Kyle.
Mom! 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 Why did you do that to me?
Joe Blinks just donated some tweetage, one a day. Thank you, sir. Did you see Jamie Kilstein on Conan? You know what? I actually have it queued up for right after the show. I have it. I literally am looking at the clip right now, and I'm going to listen to it after the show. I heard good things. Super Funk, are you looking for a new logo? I do graphic design and illustration. I contribute to pro bono. Donating my tweets now. I'm Hot Pickles on Twitter.
What was it? Hot Pickles?
Hot Pickles.
Got it.
Super Funk, we'll send you an email. I mean, we've got some logos. We could always use more because we're always looking for the best ones, and we want to put up a page where we have all the logos that people have made for us. But it's just we've got so many things on the docket right now.
Hot Pickles has a great Twitter avatar. It's a piece of toast that Darwin's burned into instead of Jesus. You know how people find Jesus in their omelets or their
Oh, that's funny.
It's great.
Just added Breitbart to my right-wing morons list. Oh, here we go. Dradmathes. I grew up in Brentwood, and I listen to you. What does that tell us? I guess Brentwood produces crazy leftists, too? Oh, sure, sure. No, I'm not, oh, I don't think his politics are a function of Brentwood. I'm saying his psychological makeup is. I mean, I think his politics are simply a function of being rejected, of feeling rejected by people. Now, Dradmathes, I mean, my guess is that you just don't have that dormant disease of wanting to be famous like Breitbart did. And Breitbart was rejected by probably his, you know, that sort of group that he thought would be or is famous. Why else do you make a site that, you know, sort of attacks Hollywood in just the most bizarre ways? I mean, nobody could have more disdain for Hollywood than I do. Well, yeah, I guess people could. But I'm not a fan of Hollywood, of that mentality. I mean, every time I would go out there for work, I would get a rash. I had to come home. Dradmanthes, I thought chatting with you makes me famous. Well, suit yourself. I don't want to disabuse you of any of your illusions. Harold, tweet donation, I mean. All right. How do we make this stick, i.e. get the guy who created it rich? Oh, Kyle's going to get rich off of the Majority Report. Thank you for donating your once a day. My Twitter name is HD Jennings, if anyone cares. I care, Harold. Don't be a putz. If you click the subscribe now tab on the Ring of Fire website, it looks like someone slapped Sam with a yarmulke. What? I haven't seen that one. I want to see what it looks like when you slap me with a yarmulke. Well, Evan was the one who said that that picture of me did not look too severe. Subscribe to the Pirate Kit. That's funny. It's Bender. It's Bender in the picture. There you go. Todd Slater just donated my Twitter on the gold level. As for the person wishing he could ditch cable TV for sports coverage, my advice, have a kid. You'll never see a sporting event on TV again. Dude, I do have a kid. I haven't. Believe me. Like, I just watched like my first football game like the other day. What I'm trying to do is get Mila psyched to watch sports. And guess what? It's not happening. She's not. Like, she'll sit down and Todd Slater, Defeatocrat, I remember that. She will watch for who's the Patriots? And she'll go, go Patriots! And then she'll be like, can we watch Super Why? No. We're watching the football game. Why? Because I want to watch it. Can we watch Sid? Sid the Science Kid? No. Why? Because I want to watch it.
You got to trick her. You'd be like, why are we watching football? Because boys like football.
Because Dorsey likes football.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
That's what I got to say.
But I don't. That's
bingo.
It's a lie.
Wait a second. Now, she asked me, I told her that I played that audio for you. And she said, what did she say? What did he say? And I said, he said, no. He doesn't. And I think she smiled or something. And said, do you want me to, is there anything else you want to say to him? No. I don't know how she could have a crush on you.
I think the one time I met her, she ran away or something.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Crystal count, best compromise. Let's see this Flickr photo. Oh, God. Where the hell did that come from? Some Flickr photo, some publicity shot that somebody took of us. Wow, I was fat. I was fatter then. I've kept my weight off since Marin and I had our big slapdown. I lost like 17 pounds. And I'd say I've only gained back, you know, maybe 5 or 6, but I've stabilized at that.
Yeah, I remember you were very determined. You were like, every time I'd see you, you were only eating yogurt or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was too, but I really wanted to beat him.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet he was cheating. Because, like, he's, you know, the cook series or whatever it was. What did he do?
Angry Chef?
Angry Chef, you know. I'm sure he was cooking at home. He, you know.
Oh, no. Dude, he lost, like, he lost more, greater percentage of his weight than I did. Upbeat Nihilist. Interesting. You know what? I can't even look at this picture. It's so disturbing in some ways. Because we're both like fake smile. Interested in doubling down. Sold. I assume he's talking about the Twitter thing. David. Okay. Yvonne. If people have their Twitter connected to Facebook, then there's a double shot once a day donated.
This is a lot of pressure on me.
You just got to choose because, you know, that's the thing is you got to hold on for a second. You got to choose what's going to be the tweet of the day. What's going to be the tweet of the month?
What do you mean? I get to choose?
When you tweet as the majority report, sometimes I do it. I did it last night to test it out. Sometimes, Evan, you tweet when you tweet out the show. We'll probably make a policy like which, you know, what should be the tweet of the day. You choose. Is this, am I going to use the tweet of the day or am I going to use the once a monthers or am I going to use the once a weekers? And, you know, we'll do, we will bring in a mathematician and we will determine, you know, it's like when people have like, you know that that when a bar has like ladies' night, that's the slowest night of the week. That you know, it had started before, and then they do ladies' night. And, you know, that's we'll do the same.
I just wanted to make sure. I thought it was.
We'll do ladies' tweet.
It just randomly picked a tweet that I tweeted.
No. Oh, you get to control that, and you know, people get control. You know, whether or not how often they're going to allow that to happen. Let's see. A Texas bill requiring driver's license sailing through passage. Yes, actually, voters in 1931 or earlier do not have to show a photo ID. Well, how do you prove that? How do you prove that?
That's a good question.
Gun owners who have concealed a handgun license can use them to prove their identities. Now, it's not too easy to get a concealed handgun license. Showing one does prove that you're a citizen. Law makes sense. Just so happens that both these exemptions benefit Republicans. Well, it's ridiculous. This. Ah, RJWJR, AKR, Mr. Frisbin, now a gold retweeter. I think my son is Maya's. It's Mila's age, by the way. He was born in May 2005. He is just a couple months older than my daughter. Super wise, tough to watch, Sam. Yeah, no kidding. Fetch with Ruff Ruffman. It's really good. I love it. Fetch with Ruff Ruffman. You know what I'm extremely excited for, and I'm going to play this tomorrow in our after show, is Mila is doing her first musical. And the teacher is, unless he ripped these songs off, in which case then he's just sort of industrious, seems to be incredibly talented. He's written this sort of like musical for these kids. Welcome, everybody, to the City of Fire. Mila has a couple lines. She's been going around singing it, practicing. Jimmy Reefkick, that's pretty interesting about the Twitter tweeting thingy. Oh, Christ, you got me doing this damn I am thing. Now the Twitter is beckoning. There you go, Reefkick. All right, folks. Morella, do you remember when Mila wanted you to tickle Brendan? Yes. Did you see that video where Mila's like screaming at me, tickle Brendan, and we shot a video on it. Those are the good old days. No, actually, those were not very good old days. All right, folks. We will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow will be, of course... I forgot to mention that today is Groundhog Day.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, you fell for that. It's happening over and over again. Do we know what happened?
It's going to be summertime next week or something.
Sweet. About time, man. I'm totally psyched. All right, tomorrow will be Casual Friday. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure. Much too quick. What are you going to do? My power.